Good morning. We want to welcome you to Little Swatara this morning. There's a little bit of rain out there, but we know the rain helps things to grow. And we know the hour of sleep that we lost, we know we're going to gain that back in the fall. Amen? All right. So it is good to be here in the house of the Lord. We want to welcome you here. We want to thank you for being a part of our worship service. If this is your very first time here, we're so glad you joined us this morning. Just a few announcements to highlight. All the announcements I make are in your bulletin. So you can join us on March 22nd at 9 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall to make items for the bazaar in November. And that's a craft class. So if you enjoy making crafts, March 22nd, 9 a.m., we invite you to be a part of that. We want to highlight April 10th. April 10th, the youth will have membership classes in my office. We're going to do those following the second service. So any youth interested in membership classes and considering being baptized, April 10th, we'll get those started. And that's simply with having the all-church fellowship and Easter the following Sunday. We thought we'd start on a date that we're all available. And so then this coming Saturday, we want to highlight the Young Family Fellowship. We're just going to call it Yard Games. So we're hoping for a beautiful day on Saturday to have the young families gather. We'll meet at the park and decide where we want to do some yard games. Perhaps we'll go to a nearby park, or we'll decide on that date, which is this coming Saturday. We want to highlight the Good Friday services. They're going to be on March 25th at 7:30. Again, March 25th, beginning at 7:30. So those are our Good Friday services, and we'll highlight some more of the Easter things next week. But we're excited to bring in Timothy King. I've known Tim for a very long time, very passionate follower of Jesus, very in depth when it comes to discipleship. So he's one that will help us follow Jesus even closer. So we welcome you to our renewal services, and he'll be preaching next Sunday, which is going to be one service. And then the following service for Easter, we'll have one service as well. So the 20th and 27th, just one service. I've noticed a lot of people signing up for the pictorial directory. We want to thank you for doing so. If you haven't had the opportunity to do that yet, the ladies will be there in the back for a little while and after the service to be able to help you get signed up if you don't have that capability at home. And each Sunday morning, as close to the May 17th to 21st dates as we're able, we'll have those computers available to get signed up for the pictorial directory. Any other announcements this morning? I believe Pam has an announcement we'll highlight, and then we'll enter into worship this morning.
I'm I'm going to start with, I didn't hear him highlight the fact that next Sunday is our all fellowship luncheon, so plan to be here after church for the meal. The meal is provided. We just ask you to bring a dessert along. So if you have a favorite dessert, we have a tradition of passing the desserts. Also at this meal, the children from Sunday school are going to be singing as part of our program, and we're going to be introducing all of the new members to our congregation in the past year. So plan to stay for lunch next Sunday. The other thing that I'd like to share with you, some of you might have already heard rumblings that we had an incident here at church yesterday where someone got into the church and was attempting to take things. She was interrupted in the process and left the building. We didn't really notice any particular things that were missing. We put things away that were gotten out. But we'd like to ask if you notice anything of yours or in your areas where you have Sunday school and teaching and things, if there's anything that's missing, if you could make a list of those items and give it to me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Let's pray and we'll enter a time of worship. Father, we just thank you for gathering us here this morning. We thank you for your abundant love. We thank you for the cross. We know there on that cross is where you paid the price for our sins. And Father, we sit here this morning forgiven, claiming that freedom that you offer us. And we're praying, God, as we move throughout this service, that your spirit would just indwell within us and allow us to feel a difference, to know that you are here and that we can each change. We can all each draw closer to you. So, Father, whatever we've gone through this week, we just pray we would lay it at the foot of the cross and we would hear your voice. We know that it still speaks through your word. And we're so thankful, God, that you have gathered us here together. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Please rise and join us in how deep the Father's love is for us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all
My name is Simon. You know me as Simon of Cyrene. I was there by accident. Or was it an accident? I was coming from my home in Africa for the Passover. As my group was getting close to the city gate, here comes a tremendous crowd and so much noise. I hadn't expected all this hubbub. And there was a man dragging a cross, and he fell. And the soldiers were hollering at him, "Get up," kicking him. He couldn't arise. So the captain of the soldiers said, you pick up his crossbeam off his back, and you carry it up to Golgotha. When I bent over, I saw he was totally spent. His back was all ripped up and bleeding. As you can see, I got it all over myself. I stayed all day. I listened to people talking. I spoke to this group and that group and the other group. And I learned what really was going on. And when I returned to Africa, I started to spread the word. I have two sons, Alexander and Rufus. They have become believers. And they're also spreading the word throughout Africa. Was I there by accident? I think not. I'm sure not.
Thank you.
As we turn to our joys and concerns this morning, we also turn to the cross this Easter season, and we realize that Jesus not only died, but Jesus rose again, and he's given us ultimate victory in our lives to be able to live a life free from sin. And so I encourage us, as we struggle in our sin, that we would turn from it, that we would walk the opposite direction of it and live in the freedom that Christ has given us. I invite us now, as a microphone is passed around, to share in any joys or concerns that you may have this morning. We'd like to include Lloyd Moyer, who's in the emergency room as we speak, and they're running some tests on Lloyd, and his heart's beating a little bit slow, so they're considering some options for that, and just keep Lloyd and also his wife Naomi, as she's in rehabilitation, and prayer as well. Are there other joys or concerns you'd like to share this morning?
Jim would like to thank everyone for all the cards and the prayer shawl he received this week. It put a smile on his face.
Wonderful, yes. We continue to keep Jim Mills in our prayers and just pray that that cancer ceases in Jesus' name. Amen, yes. It was good to see Robert Snyder in the first service on the 27th. There's another procedure they'll be doing with Robert, so continue to lift up Robert Snyder in your prayers as well. Yes.
We're glad that Derek was able to come home from the hospital, and he is doing okay. What they thought might have been the problem was that it was a reaction to medications he had been prescribed.
Okay, thank you. Keep Derek in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, there's simply not words to thank you for what you have accomplished on the cross. Father, we know this Easter season, there's this conception of newness. And as we look outside and we see your beautiful creation, we see things rising up. We see daffodils and we see your creation coming to life. Father, let that be a reminder to us that we have newness found through you. So we thank you, God, that we can be forgiven. But Lord, we also know that we need to confess, we need to admit the sins in our lives and receive that forgiveness. So Father, as believers, as followers, we just ask, Lord, that you would hear our confessions. And Father, after our confessions, we'll pray even more so into the concerns we have this morning. So Father, hear our confessions and prayers on our hearts. Father, you know the week that we've had. You know the struggles that we endure, whether it's with health or whether it's with the loss of a loved one. Father, we just pray your peace. We pray your comfort. We pray, Father, your healing touch in our lives. We know, Father, we have friends among us. We have friends in our community and acquaintances, Lord, that may not yet know you as their Lord and Savior. And we pray, God, that you would send us, that you would use us to speak our stories into their life, that they might see the hope that we have through Jesus in theirs. And we think, Lord, of those that are being persecuted across the globe. We especially think of our Nigerian brothers and sisters, and continue to lift up them and pray a hedge of protection around them as many are dying at the hands of their enemy. We pray for peace. We pray for surrender, Lord, that the enemy would see your light and see the love that you have for each of them. Father, we think of Naomi and Roberta and Jen and Pete and Jim and Jess and Christine and Carol and Catherine and Ken and Ruth and Angie and Derek. And Father, we lift up the person who entered into the church trying to take things from this church and lift them up in Jesus' name this morning. We pray, Lord, your divine touch upon each life here represented, each family represented here, Lord. We just pray you would speak your love and your comfort into our lives and our situations. We thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. We thank you that we can follow you day in and day out. We thank you for your grace and mercies. We praise you that you are the creator of this universe. And we praise you that we can gather here and worship you. So, Father, we continue to just lift our voices, to continue to surrender to you and continue to seek your will for our lives. We know it's your purpose for us to go and to make disciples. And Father, if that makes us feel a bit uneasy, allow us to identify with your Holy Spirit that gives us that power to speak your name. And we pray all these things in the most holy and the most precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please rise and join us to continue worship in Christ alone.
In 2 Corinthians 9:6 and onward, it reads, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." The word of the Lord. Father God, we thank you so much for the many blessings that you give us in our lives. And we know, Father, moment by moment, week by week, we come under compulsion to give. But, Father, you love a cheerful giver. And so we're praying this morning that we wouldn't give because we have to, but we give because we are cheerful. And we thank you for the grace that you provide. So, Father, bless each giver, bless each heart represented here this morning, and thank you for their offering. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite all the kids, come join me up front. Do any of you know what a Transformer toy is? No? Yes? Do any of you?
Not me.
Oh my, you're making me feel old. A Transformer toy is a robot. Do you know what a robot is?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay.
It has batteries in the back.
Yeah, they have batteries. So these robot toys, they can transform into a car, a plane, a boat, anything you could imagine. And they're so popular, but they must not be too popular anymore since you guys don't know what they are. But well, they have TV shows, comic books, full-length movies, all about these Transformer toys. The only thing is, Transformer toys don't really have power, if you know what I mean. You push a button and they transform into something. So that's kind of like power, but not power, if that makes sense. Did you know that there is a Transformer that's really got power? Yes? That's Jesus. Jesus can transform our lives. Did you know that? Yeah? In the Bible, Jesus shows us that he has transforming power. Many years ago, there was a man whose name was Saul. Do any of you know who Saul is? Yes? He was an enemy of the church. He did many terrible things to the followers of Jesus. He was even part of a group that stoned a man named Stephen because he was preaching about Jesus. One day, Saul was traveling to Damascus to hunt for Christians so that he could have them thrown into prison. On the way to Damascus, a bright light appeared to him, and Saul heard a voice of Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul answered, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus replied, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. I have appeared to appoint you as my servant and to be a witness for me." After meeting with Jesus, Saul's life was transformed. In fact, he even got a new name. His new name is Paul. Do you know who Paul is? Yes?
Yeah, I heard that.
You've heard about Paul?
That was a story.
Yeah, you've heard about him? That's good. And instead of destroying the churches, Paul went and preached, and he taught others about Jesus. And he helped build up the church instead of tearing it down. People were amazed at this change that took place in Paul's life. Wherever he went, people said to him, "The man who was once persecuted is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy." That is what transforming power of Jesus can do. Would you let Jesus transform your lives? Yes? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we want to feel the transforming power of Jesus in our lives. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining me.
if we open our eyes and we open our hearts, together we can be the change. The truth of the matter is this. The Bible, the Word of God, comes from His very mouth. We cannot forget in the world today that the Bible still speaks. The Scriptures are and will always be useful for ministering to those around us. The difference, as we've learned throughout our series, We Are Church, is that we are being built together and being made available to go. Two simple letters with incredible power to change the course of history. God has given us His Word so that we would be capable and equipped to do everything He calls us to do. There's no exceptions, no one excluded. We are all called to go into the world and share the news of Jesus Christ, who has demonstrated what love looks like by dying on a cross for our sins and defeating them once and for all and no longer allowing death to have a sting. Friends, let this sink in. No matter what the world does to affect us, to shape us, to influence us, Jesus has the ultimate victory. Together, we can be the change. I've titled the message for today, Now What? But we know what's next. We go, we share, we care, we love, we make the difference in the world as believers in Christ. Otherwise, it was all in vain. Jesus didn't pay this price for our sins, that we would keep it to ourselves. Before He left this earth, He said, go and make disciples. Church, this is where it all begins and ends. Set aside our fears. We are protected by the blood of Christ. Nothing can separate us from that love. In light of everything we've covered over these past few weeks, what will it take for us to go out the doors beyond these four walls, working together to bring the change needed in our lives, in the church, in the lives of others? What do we need to do in order to make that happen? My greatest fear is that we study God and we never know Him. We study God and we never are changed or transformed by Him. I'm terrified we know what church is supposed to be, but we'll never act on that knowledge. With everything in front of us, if we truly commit to being the church and doing the Father's will, what would He have us do? Where would He have us go? At the end of the day, it's all about following Jesus in the power of the Spirit. In order to accomplish what God has placed on this earth for us to do, it's about advancing the kingdom of God. It's about His will being done here on earth. What will it take, friends, to equip us to that end? The passage we're looking at today tells us that very answer. God has given us the Bible for this purpose. There's a lifelong process of making these changes and learning to apply the truth of Scriptures to our lives. But here's the deal. We can't wait any longer. It has to start now. We need to be the change together. People within and outside these walls are struggling with real life issues. We've seen that any change requires the work of the Holy Spirit. But God gave us the Bible to be transformed, to be equipped to bring transformation to people around us. The very thought may terrify many of us. The feeling of offending someone is very real. But if we truly believe Scripture is breathed out by God, we know the power that it has to teach, reproof, correct, and instruct in righteousness. Let's say we choose to never say a word about our faith. How many more people dying not knowing Jesus will it take before we say yes to God's call? It's not just neighbors we're talking about. It's friends, family members, those we work with on a daily basis. My heart breaks knowing anyone could leave earth without having that personal relationship with Jesus. There's no doubt our task is daunting. The nature of our mission has the potential to freeze us and keep us from moving in the purpose and direction of God. But hear this, friends. The task is only impossible if we approach it on our own strength and with our own wisdom. Would you say something with me this morning? Not on my own. Would you say that this morning? Not on my own. The absolute incredible truth of the Christian life is that God has not left us alone. The fact of the matter is, we're not alone and not on our own. He has given us His Holy Spirit to empower us to do the impossible. And the question often arises, well, when exactly do I get this Holy Spirit? I'm not so certain about this power you talk about. To me, it seems a bit outlandish. It seems a bit over the top. Yet, friends, when we accept Jesus as Lord of our lives, something very powerful happens. And it's important for us to remember and to understand that if together we're going to make a difference, we know the truths about the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul teaches clearly that we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. 1 Corinthians 12:13 declares, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." Romans 8:9 tells us that if a person does not possess the Holy Spirit, he or she does not belong to Christ. It reads, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." And finally, in Ephesians 1:13 to 14, it teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the seal of salvation for all those who believe. It reads, "Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." These three passages make it very clear that the Holy Spirit is received at the moment of salvation. Paul could not say that we were all baptized by one Spirit and were all given one Spirit to drink if not all of the Corinthian believers possess the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 is even stronger, stating that if a person does not have the Spirit, he does not belong to Christ. Therefore, friends, what we are gaining here is the reality of our salvation. The Holy Spirit could not be the seal of salvation if He is not received at the moment of salvation. This discussion becomes controversial because the ministries of the Holy Spirit are often confused. Here's what I mean. We have heard the saying in which we receive, or there's an indwelling of the Spirit. Again, like we just heard, this occurs at the moment of salvation. Then there's this talk about the filling of the Spirit, which we know to be an ongoing process in the Christian life. While we hold that the baptism of the Spirit also occurs at the moment of salvation, there are some who do not. And here's what happens. This results in the baptism of the Spirit being confused with receiving the Spirit as an act subsequent to salvation. In other words, at a later date, following our salvation. So let's be crystal clear. We receive the Holy Spirit by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So why is this important as we move forward? It goes back to the foundation that we cannot do this on our own strength and on our own wisdom. As we set out on the most difficult of tasks, we find that the most basic truths are often the most profound. Very often, the answers we learned in Sunday school are incredibly powerful. The Bible is the place we need to look in order to be equipped for our mission. So my challenge for us is this. Let's not allow our Bibles to become dusty. Let's not allow our Bibles to become lost. Let's spend consistent time studying God's Word. Say that word with me, consistent. I don't think I heard you very well. Consistent. Consistency means that we're doing it on an ongoing basis. It doesn't mean I pick up the word on Monday and I don't pick it up again until Sunday. Consistency means day by day we're reading Scripture. Now, I could hear some of us saying, but Pastor, it doesn't make any sense. But Pastor, I don't understand what it's saying. And might I encourage us this in love? Don't even entertain that thought. Don't let it entertain that thought in your mind. Be open. Be open to hear God's voice. Pray in the power of the Spirit for Scripture to be open to you, to be revealed. And I can assure us, as we invest this time into God's Word, we will find ourselves transformed and equipped to transform the world around us. As we take a look at our passage for today, remember that God is calling the church to act as the church. I'm convinced through years of ministry experience, people do not get involved because they don't feel equipped to do so. They may not invest in the people around them through fellowship, share what they're learning and challenge other Christians through teaching, or step forward to pray boldly for God to act on their behalf, or even to take the lead in calling others to remember Jesus' death and mission through communion. And the reason being, because they aren't confident that they have the answers or ability to do so. But as we read this passage, the intention is to give us that confidence. We have to keep in mind the significance that Scripture comes directly from the mouth of God. That confidence doesn't come from within ourselves. That confidence comes from the Word of God. Friends, do we realize that we possess the book that reveals life's mysteries and explains who we are and who God is? We're going to dive into that after the Easter Sunday. But these are his words. They're to be treasured above all else. Now, Paul is writing this letter of 2 Timothy from a prison cell. He's awaiting execution. He's writing to his spiritual protege, Timothy, whom he clearly loved and viewed as a son. In the letter, we'll begin where Paul is warning about the corrupt world and how it will continue to corrupt itself. What we gather first and foremost is that the world is not where we find wisdom, hope, or purpose. Our greatest offer of hope to the world is found in the word in which we are called to stand boldly upon its truth and preach it as we go. We're no different than Timothy to teach God's truth to those around us when we know it won't always be what others want to hear. So let's begin with verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, if you want to reach for a Bible in the front of your pew, please do so. I'd love for us to get in the habit of opening our word and being able to see it and be able to hear it. It's going to be on the screen, but there's something about having your Bible in front of you. Again, we're in 2 Timothy 3. We'll be starting in verse 1. It says, "But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind to worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. And here's Paul's charge to Timothy. You, however, and to us, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that it contains for us to not only transform ourselves to live this life for you, but to transform the world around us. So, Father, we pray that as we consider these verses, we would not be as you describe these people in these last days. These, we know, are not the words that would describe the believer in Christ. We pray, Father, that these are things that have been surrendered to you. We pray, God, that we have made you our priority, that we have placed you first in our lives, and that we're living day by day, moment by moment for your glory. Amen. Friends, if the struggle still exists, we must be willing to resist. Look again at verses 5 and 7. It says, such people have a form of godliness but deny its power. These verses are telling us to have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. And then listen to this in verse 7. It says, always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Friends, isn't it the signs of the times? We're all about the choice. Adam and Eve even had that same choice in Genesis chapter 3, and they were persuaded by the crafty words of the serpent. Surely you will not die. They chose to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and their eyes were opened. And they did what we continue to do to this day, cover up their sin. We claim to have a form of godliness, but do we really know the truth? The only way we're going to find out is if we read God's word daily. The power lies within these pages to change the course of history. Those final words in verses 16 and 17 tell us that this Bible is all that we need. It's real, friends. If someone were to tell you, I want you to wake up at 4:30 tomorrow morning and you're going to hear God's voice, I wonder how many of us that would tickle our ears and we would be awake at 4:30 waiting to hear God's voice. Friends, God does still speak. But the question we must ask ourselves this morning, are we listening? Spend time consistently reading His Word. This Bible is entirely God-breathed. This is His voice. But when we read, we need to do something very important. I'm in a habit, you're in a habit, where we read through the Scripture and then we put the book down and we leave. No, let's try something new. Perhaps you're already doing it. Read some verses and then take time in silence to be still. And you'll be amazed at the voice you'll be hearing from God speaking through His Word. It will be loud and clear in His instructions for living in this life. The power of the breath of God in divine inspiration pervades Scripture. God breathed the breath of life into Adam. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." 2 Peter 1:21, we are told that prophecy never had its origins in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Here we see the truths of Scripture described as coming directly from God, not from the will of the writers He used to record them. Peter also notes that Paul writes with the wisdom that God gave him. And although 2 Timothy 3:16 may be the only place in the Bible where the phrase God breathed is used to describe the Word of God, Scripture is replete with similar claims. These are actual God's words reminding us of that truth and love that can be found there to guide us in all aspects of life. Friends, together, we can make a change. Naturally, as we read this book, we're going to be convicted. Don't let that scare you. Don't let that frighten you. Conviction is what leads us to transformation and the change that's needed in our lives. It's not only good for teaching, but it equips us to become competent in doing so. It leads us to good works. It leads us to action. Friends, know that we were created for a purpose. That purpose will always honor God. That purpose will always honor God. This is it. It's all we need. The power is right here in these words breathed by God to go and together to make a change. So now what? Do we sit idly by and wait for God? Do we tap our toes and twiddle our thumbs waiting for the call? Not at all. Not at all. The phone's been ringing. The door's been knocked upon repeatedly. The challenge for us is to answer the call, to open our hearts, to open the door, and listen to the Spirit as we surrender to His perfect will to go and make change in our life and in someone else's. Would you believe that the world is waiting to hear the good news? To realize that there is hope in the midst of this turmoil, to really conceive the very fact that there are genuine, authentic followers of Christ who truly care. We can't remain comatose any longer. The church must rise up and be the church. Friends, the church is you and I. Now go, tell somebody how much Jesus cares and longs to be their Savior and friend. It's not too late. We can't give up. Press on, friends. Carry the good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for the cross. We thank You for the good news that we are forgiven. But Father, we know that our purpose, our mission is to go into this world and to make disciples. So Father, don't let us sit idly by. Draw us closer to you as we transform. Help us to transform others. Father, impress upon us the need to share this, that Jesus loves you, that Jesus cares for you, that Jesus longs to be your Savior, to be your best friend. Before it's too late, Father, nudge us, urge us, motivate us, uplift us, and encourage us to go about your purposes. And to you, God, be all the glory and the honor and the praise. Amen.
Please rise and join us as we continue to praise in the song, I Believe in Jesus.
Keep in mind this week, these are not just words on a page. These are words that jump off the page and into our lives, and they interact with our story that's being written day by day. So as I continue to encourage you to consistently read this Bible, may your life be transformed. May you go and help transform and make the change in this world. Amen and amen.